Howdy, howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 398, How you guys doing? Hey, boy, you guys got really revved up with the Northern Lights of a week ago. You're still talking about them. I know there's some that had some results that you're a little disappointed in. Remember that you can always head to Kelby One, and I actually happen to have a class on Northern Lights, both on photographing and finishing. So the number of questions came in. I referred you folks to that. I highly recommend if you have those questions or had some results you're not really thrilled with, they're all right there in that really that long class. So it's there to help you along with a whole lot of other topics on Kelby One. Hey, the number three in Moose's Shooter Report will go live this later on today. I do appreciate the feedback on the first one and two. Yes, like I noted, there are audio issues. A little bit of learning curve doing everything by myself along with, you know, the shooting. So hopefully the learning curve is not too steep and you'll find the audio on this one a bit better. But that'll be posted again later today. So spring has really gone crazy. You guys have been singing out, sharing some great shots on social, which is really cool to see. Remember, I have on the website a whole lot of information about photographing nesting birds. It can be done safely, and it's really rewarding, but it's also challenging. Here at the old homestead, boy, the birds start piling in a week ago, like on the 11th or 12th. They start piling in after that, to the point where my favorite little house wren is back and decided that his box the last 2 years is good enough. So he's there broadcasting, and hopefully he doesn't fool me like last year and I get the shots I'm looking for, because he was, I thought he was a lonely heart, and he already had a female and had eggs, and I thought he was still looking for love. And then our crossbills came back more than usual. And evening grosbeaks, you know, they keep saying that they are in trouble, but our numbers just keep swelling. What is really cool, and I'm really loving, is that the hummers came back, and they came back, what would it be, about 2 weeks later this year compared to last year. But the calliope male and a couple females were the first ones back. And I know that because of that solemn hummingbird feeder with the camera that I blogged a while back. Is the camera, it's working amazing, guys. It shows me who's there, how long they stay. There's video and sound. Did a post last week about it. It's just, it's great because there's no more guesswork. And no matter where I am, whether it's right there in the house or somewhere across the world, if I have internet, I can actually check on who's at the feeder. So that's just way cool. And it's making spring, I guess a little more lively. Well, I don't know if I really need it more lively, but it is. So that's kind of the spring update right now. It's very cool. And there's be more spring update also in the Moose Shooting Report that's getting posted later on today. Hey, I want to thank my good friends at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com. These guys rock. Now, some of you have reported that you're having issues with the Z9 battery. Yeah, you're not alone, and Bedford's is there to help you. If you've bought a Z9 battery from them and you're having issues, just reach out to them. You'll be surprised how quickly your issues will be resolved, as well as if you need to buy something, need advice, got questions. They've got the PhotoCon coming up. Coming up here shortly this week. And, you know what? Maybe this is last weekend. Anyway, Bedford's, they've got the gear, got the prices, home of the Moose discount after you checked out. They're really great friends of mine. They will be of yours as well. Bedfords.com. Thanks for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. Well, getting into this week's episode, I've touched on this many times before, and I had two very, very sincere questions. And it's something that I think should be talked about quite a bit. And that's really simply, A or the. Do you want just a photograph or the photograph? And then if you want the photograph, how do you know when you have it? Whoa. We're talking, this is heady stuff. Well, to put it in real simple terms, if you want a photograph, go with the spray and pray method. If you want the photograph, sniper mode. That's cutting right down to the quick, making it quick and simple. You can go click, done with the Moose podcast. I got it all. A, pray and spray, the sniper mode. Now, the only thing that you have to think about is once you have decided, if you're going to decide, because there's no right or wrong in this, which way you want to go, is that what method are you going to use when you get the images back on your computer to decide it's a photograph or the photograph? Because when you're back at the computer, there is no such thing as pray and spray, and there's no sniper mode. It is what it is. Well, that's when it gets complicated, right? Well, let's start at the camera, because we're still dealing with a computer, which means garbage in, garbage out, or excellence on the click. So I'm going to go from what I've been working on recently. Down at Lee Metcalf National Wildlife Refuge, the yellow-headed blackbirds have come back. Great bird. Now, I've already blogged a couple of photographs of them. I absolutely love them. And the first time I ever really spent time with this great bird was outside of a little town in the Eastern Sierras at what we used to call Black Spring. And really kind of hard to photograph them there because you had their cattails around this big pond. And boy, they always were kind of like, they would just move a little bit and there's no way to work them. And where at Lee Metcalf, you can stay in your vehicle and use your vehicle as a blind. And that's a huge advantage. Now, not making this a really long story because I could really make it a long one. You've got the males, and they're the black bodies, yellow heads. As some people pointed out on the old social network, my favorite color brand, favorite camera brand colors. And the males are, of course, doing what the birds and bees thing. They're trying to attract the female, and they just contort their body all sorts of different ways in which to bring the female to them. Now, you want a photograph of this. Do you want a photograph or the photograph? Now, if you have no familiarity with the yellow-headed blackbird or its contortions, how are you able to get the photograph? That's a really hard and a really great question. And it's really tempting that when they go and they start their process of making a call, and you could tell they kind of vibrate a little bit, their bill starts to move, starts to point a little bit more skyward. You see the wing shoulders start to kind of come out. And then you know it's going to go up. They're going to, and they do a simple little call. It kind of sounds like the old commercial, cha-cha-cha-cha-chia. And that's about as long as they're going to call. They go, cha-cha-cha-cha-chia. And in that process, they extend their body. They extend their neck. They kind of take their head a little bit back over between their shoulders. They contort. And they call. And they've got these great white wing patches on their totally black wings, and they got the beautiful yellow, and it's like, hey, I got 20 frames per second, I'm gonna shoot. And that's a valid way of doing it. Now, if you do that, then you have to go back to the computer to decide which of all the A photographs you took is the photograph. Now we go back to the camera again, and we want to shoot and get the shot when we are at that scene with the subject. You could consider the possibility that the shot will be just like doing peak of action, watching all that contortion of the yellow-headed blackbird. And then when it finally does that last little bit of extension and the mandibles open, bills open up, because you know when they open up, the song's going to come out. That's when you go click. That would be the sniper mode. It is a whole lot more challenging, to try to take a couple shots at that moment compared to spray and pray. And hey, let's be honest, we're friends here, right? We can talk. There is nothing funner than when you have this great bird and great light doing all this goofy stuff, then the lay on the hammer and just crank out the shots, right? I mean, it's rewarding. It's fun. And it's like, I'm so glad I have that Z9 because I'm doing those 20 frames per second. I'll figure it out the rest when I get back to the computer. Just, right? We've all done it. I do it. But in that process, how do you find A shot versus the shot? So let's just say, for discussion's sake, we went with the pray and spray methodology here, and we have the birds on our monitor, and you're going through them. Here is the first and really truly the biggest hurdle to get past. When you look at the photograph, you're going to have a series of them. All the mistakes will be in each photograph. So it's really, really easy for the mind just to glance over them. I liken it like when I write a paragraph of words and I look at them. Yep, there's no mistakes there. Well, we all know that's not the case. That's just the way the mind works. It just makes that stuff mysteriously and magically disappear. But when you're trying to find the photograph, when you've done that method, it is something you have to decide and figure out how for yourself. You can't see, the glaring mistakes smack you between the eyes. So that's one of the benefits of sniper mode, is that when you have the opportunity and you take those few shots, you're going to know the photograph a lot simpler because the mind's not confused with a big selection. And we go back to the yellow-headed blackbird example. The first time Sharon and I went down there, we just saw one male, and it was across the pond. All we could do is enjoy it through the binoculars. By the last time I went there, just a few days ago, there were about 20, 23 males, on their territories. So if I pick this one and he does his broadcast and calls, and I see that not all of his yellowhead feathers have come in because he's molting them in for spring, and I see some bare skin, that individual, maybe I shouldn't photograph him. So I just simply cruise the car up, 15, 20 feet to the next one. And if this one is a great looking individual, but the background sucks, or he's got this cattail, that tail in different places, I move up further. So right off the bat, getting the photograph is having important criteria. Things like a good looking individual, a good background, great lighting, all those things. A photograph is just going to be, hey, I'm close, it fills a frame, I'm happy, shoot away. But that's not how you get the photograph. And even worse, that when you shoot with that kind of mindset that a photograph is fine, you've lowered your standards. How are you ever going to back up? I mean, that's really the challenge. It's a huge challenge. How do you get your standards back up? You cannot have somebody who, on social, who loves your picture, sit right next to you in the vehicle and say, okay, you need to do this and that, so I love it more. That's not going to happen. You after the fact, and somebody critiques your image, it's too late. It's done. You've got to find that standard and keep building on it, which means you have to have a really sound foundation and work your way up. So in the process, when you're thinking about, oh, I got a photograph, if you say to yourself, I got a photograph, and you just shot 100 or 200, you should know it better be really apparent at this point that you've got a photograph, just a photograph. And if you're trying to grab people's attention, make money, go after heartstrings or save a critter, a photograph is not enough. The photograph. One of the things that I'm always amazed about photographers, and it will never change, is they always, you know, they tend to ask other folks, so did you get some good photographs today? And the response is, I don't know. I'll know when I get back. You know, that typical one. I know when I get them on the computer. Hey, folks, that's way too late. If in your mind, you can't say, I think I've got the photograph, then you need to go back to basics and figure out why you're just coming back with a bunch of A photographs and not the photograph candidates. Now, understand that just because you go out to get the photograph, which I know some people really, that's their intention, doesn't mean you're going to get it. It don't work that way, not in wildlife photography. You can get close to that and some other things, but there's a lot of variables. But you slim those variables down, you get a higher success rate to capturing the photograph when you don't settle for a photograph. When you push yourself at the camera and you really drill down into those images on your computer, you start in your own mind's eye calling out the variables that don't work for the way you want to tell a story and incorporate those that do. And that's how you get from a photograph to the photograph. You folks have another spectacular week. Spring has sprung big time. Get out there, make the shots, share them. Your images can change the world. Make every click your story.